The governors really have been doing a really good job working with us, and it's really pretty impressive to see. I've spoken to numerous leaders of countries over the last 48 hours, and they are saying we're leading the way. We're really leading the way in so many different ways. I'm also very pleased that Harvard, as you know, Harvard and Stanford and Princeton and numerous other universities and colleges, as also large businesses, have sent funds back to us. And in some cases, I stopped funds that I looked at. And we are pleased to report that the funds have either not gone out, or it's about $350 million, and either they're not gone out, or we've renegotiated it, and they're not getting them. So in a couple of cases, they're sending them back and sending it back immediately. So I think it was very nice. I want to thank Harvard in particular. They acted very quickly and decisively, and they agreed when they heard the facts that they should not be getting it. So we appreciate it very much from Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, and other institutions. The bill also includes $30 billion to support small lending institutions serving distressed communities, helping countless African-American and Hispanic-American small businesses. As we continue our battle against the virus, the data and facts on the ground suggest that we're making great progress. In 23 states, new cases have declined in the peak week. 40% of American counties have also seen a rapid decline in new cases. 46 states report a drop in patients showing coronavirus-like symptoms. That's a big number. To keep America gaining momentum, every citizen needs to maintain the vigilance, and we all understand that very well. We've gone over it many, many times. This includes practicing good hygiene, maintaining social distance, and the voluntary use of face covering. A safe and phased reopening of our economy is very exciting, but it does not mean that we are letting down our guard at all in any way. On the contrary, continued diligence is an essential part of our strategy to get our country back to work, to take our country back. We're winning this, and we're going to win it, and we're going to keep watching. We're going to watch very closely for the invisible enemy. With each passing day, we're learning more and more about this enemy. The scientists at DHS have released a report offering a number of insights about how the virus reacts to different temperatures, climates, and surfaces. The findings confirm that the virus survives better in colder and drier environments and does less well in warmer and more humid environments. I have to say that very excitingly, we're going to have somebody up. Bill will be up in just a little while. It was a great report you gave, and he's going to be talking about how the virus reacts in sunlight. When you hear the numbers, you won't even believe them. U.S. trials of the COVID-19 have been going on and have been approved in the United States, Germany, UK, and China. That's big news. And we're a lot of trials are going on. We have a lot of great, brilliant minds working on this, both from the standpoint of a vaccine and therapeutics. We must be careful in all conditions, but we will get this done. We're very close to a vaccine. Unfortunately, we're not very close to testing, because when the testing starts, it takes a period of time, but we'll get it done. And I want to thank the head of DHS Science and Technology, Bill Bryant, for what he's going to be doing and what he's going to be saying and the report that he's about to give. I think it's going to be something that nobody's ever heard. It'll be brand new information and very important information. My administration continues to leverage the Defense Production Act to dramatically increase the manufacture and delivery of critical medical supplies. We finalized three contracts to produce 39 million more N95 masks in 90 days. And as you know, we're also using a sterilization process, some great equipment that will sterilize the masks up to 20 times per mask. So that's like ordering 20 times more masks. And it's working very well. We just want the hospitals and the institutions where it is to use it. A lot of people don't use it. They're so used to getting a new mask, they don't want to use it. They want to go and immediately get a new one. We're asking them to use the sterilization process. Every bit is good, up to 20 times. Think of that. In addition to ramping up our domestic assembly lines, we also have airlifted nearly 750 million pieces of personal protective equipment into the United States through our Project Airbridge, which has been an incredible thing to watch. It's really a military operation. The Vice President is now providing each governor with an exhaustive count-by-county breakdown of the privately distributed personal protection, and this is equipment and things that are incredible. It's personal protective equipment. It's incredible, and it's all brand new and at the highest level. We're getting only the highest level, and also we're looking at essential gear within their states, and it's being delivered to different states quickly and as we speak. This way, the governor should know exactly what's being delivered through a private sector supply chain within their states, as well as through the Project Airbridge. We're trying to get it immediately from the plane to the state. When we can't do that, we bring it into our facilities and get it to the governors. And we're getting them fast, and we're notifying them very strongly so they know it's there. Governors can use this information to quickly ensure that they get materials where and when they are needed. Today, I also want to extend my special thanks to our nation's incredible county emergency management teams who have been working relentlessly for weeks around the clock, end on end, to serve their communities, help distribute critical supplies, and save countless American lives. We salute these heroic officials on the front lines. As we continue to develop potential therapies, the FDA has recently begun a national effort to expand access to convalescent plasma donated from the blood of those who have recovered from the virus. The blood of these donors contains antibodies that can potentially reduce the severity of the illness in those who are sick, and frankly, those that are very sick. Nearly 3,000 patients are now enrolled in the Expanded Access Program receiving transfusions nationwide. And I want to thank all of the people that recovered for what they've done. They, as I said yesterday, they raise their hand when they barely can walk, and they're saying, I want to donate blood, I want to donate whatever it is that you want, because we want to help people. It's really quite incredible. Convalescent plasma will also be used to manufacture a concentrated antibody treatment that does not have to be matched with a particular blood type. This concentrated antibody treatment could be used as a preventative measure to keep healthcare workers and other high-risk populations from contracting the virus in the first place. Very big deal. Clinical trials of these products are slated to begin within weeks, and we can maybe have a fairly quick solution. I urge Americans to get in there and keep doing what you're doing, because again, we want those people recovering or recovered from coronavirus to contact their local blood and plasma donation center to learn how they can help. And they've been so great, and I just appreciate it. My administration has also partnered with leading, and we have really been establishing some great partnerships with leading technology companies and scientific journals to create a database of 52,000 scholarly articles on the virus that can be analyzed by artificial intelligence. Top AI experts are now using this wealth of data to gain insights into
potential. Good evening, everybody. That is President Trump's update today on the coronavirus. We'll start the call in just a minute. Thank you for joining us.
In the search for treatments and vaccines, that search is going on, and it's being, I think you'll see in the future, you'll see it's very successful. Ultimately, it'll be a tremendous success. Great progress is being made at a rapid pace, a pace like no other. We have every hope that with the full might and resources of American science and technology, and with the courage and devotion of the American people who have been so incredible, we will end this plague. And together we will restore the full measure of American strength and power and prosperity. Our country is going to do fantastically well. You see what's going on. There is a pent-up demand in our country to get it back right where it was and maybe even better, and that's what's going to happen. So with that, I'd like to ask Mike Pence to come up, Vice President. Say a few words, please, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon. Today, the White House Coronavirus Task Force met, and while our hearts are with the families of those who have lost their lives to the coronavirus and those who are struggling with serious illness today, our team, led by Dr. Deborah Birx, informs us that the data continues to show promising signs of progress. The New York metro area, New Jersey, Connecticut, Detroit, and New Orleans all appear to be past their peak, and we are seeing consistent declines in hospitalization and cases in regions across the country.
Let's get started. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Thursday night, and it is the 23rd of April. Where does the time go? Kimberly, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, Scotty. Good to be here. How are you?
I am doing great. When I hear President Trump say we're going to get the country back to where it was or maybe better, you know he doesn't say those things without being very calculated about it.
Oh, so he is such a man of strategy.
He is all strategy, and he is winning the war on every front. He started the update, Corona, the whatever you call these briefings for the press, and he's at a point where he manhandles the reporters. They ask him a stupid question, boy, does he let them know. Anyway, he's been very calculated. He started today by saying, we're watching the silent enemy very closely. And sure, there's a coronavirus team watching the virus and, you know, looking at the curves of where the virus is at. But when he says they're watching the silent enemy, we know he means the bad guys, the black cats, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, the war, the spiritual war, those who are on the wrong side of it. So, but that's why we're here and you're here to take the floor and lead us in our first prayer. And when we get done with your prayer, I had promised somebody who was incredulous when I told them that this could be a plandemic, not a pandemic. They couldn't believe, well, why would they do that, the government? So I told them I would answer them tonight on the call. So go ahead, Kimberly.
You know, Scotty, before I pray, I just wanted to point out that our president opened that briefing today with a statement from the head or the chief of technology and science from the Department of Homeland Security, who talked about the power of light against the virus. And I thought, wow, if that's coded messaging, what we stand for is dark to light and the great awakening. And I just thought, my goodness, that is so awesome.
It is great. Yeah, no, we know the double entendre in that one.
For sure. Anyways, all right. Welcome to Prayers for 45. Bow your heads. Father, we lift up a prayer of protection over our president tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is in me, saith the Lord. So tonight, we on Prayers for 45 declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against our president shall prosper, and that every tongue, every negative word that disagrees with your promises towards our nation, every negative word that disagrees with your promises towards our president, Lord, and our leaders, and the whole plan, every word that rises against them, you will judge. You will. We condemn it, and we cast it down. Such words will not come to pass in Jesus' name. This divine protection is part of our inheritance as servants of the Lord and your righteousness, Father. We praise you because of this protection that comes from you, for you are the final authority. Lord, we also know that Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing, I just repeat, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Lord, so we stand on that word tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the authority to use the name of Jesus to trample on serpents and scorpions and every kind of evil spirit, evil agenda, any type of evil assault from the occult, from any spirit that is not of the spirit of the Most High God, you are defeated. You are under our feet, and we tell you that we do not allow you to raise up a standard against our president, against our nation, and we defeat it. You are reminded of the blood that was shed by Jesus on the cross that defeated you once and for all. We praise you for that, Lord. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you were wounded to pay for our transgressions, Lord, and we cry out to you that you would forgive our nation for the blood that we have shed, that you would cover our nation with your blood and wipe the slate clean, Lord. We cry out for the blood that was slain of our children, Father. We confess that as sin to you, and we ask, Lord, that you would restore our land, that you would heal our nation, and that you would establish your kingdom here. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you endured severe punishment and that you promised to pay for our peace because of it, Lord. And so we declare that because of your stripes, our nation is healed. We are healed. We praise you for that. Lord, we also are mindful of Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and who heals all of our diseases." Lord, we're mindful of those who continue to fight the coronavirus in their bodies. Lord, we thank you that you have said that your word, that your blood that was shed has forgiven us and cleansed us of all infirmities. Lord, we declare your healing on anybody on this call, Lord, anybody who is mindful of anybody that they know who is fighting for their lives, Lord, because of the coronavirus, Father, and any other disease. Lord, we come against it, and we declare that these people are healed because of what you did on the cross. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the protection and healing and safety that you provide our president also, Lord. We're mindful that you continue to keep him healthy, that you continue to keep his family healthy, and that you continue to promote every agenda of the plan that you have written down for this time, this season in our nation, Lord. Nothing surprises you. And we're grateful for everything that is coming into the light. Lord, we're mindful of both the good and the bad that's coming into the light. We're thankful that you are conducting rescues of those who have been wrongfully persecuted, Father. We're mindful of the children across our world, Lord. We're thankful that you continue to bring forth your justice on all of these levels for the darlings, Father. And we are also thankful that the evil that's been hidden is also coming into the light. And we're mindful that you are the light of the world, and that you told us that we're to be salt and light. And so, Father, we raise up a standard of light on our nation, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would allow people to continue to wake up as they begin to understand the scope of this military operation to bring our nation back to the original intent of our founding fathers. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you so much for what you are doing to bring healing to our land and to continue to protect our president. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can stand on your word tonight. We thank you that you are the one who protects us, that your name means God our protector, that you are a safe refuge for us, Father. Even in thinking of Psalm 91, Lord, you say that you are a strong foundation and that you protect us and that you are a shield around us, and that we do not need to be afraid. And so, Lord, we're mindful, again, of 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So we declare those things over our president tonight, over our nation, over the leaders of our nation, Father, and over ourselves, Lord, knowing that it's because of your spirit that we have a sound mind. It's because of your spirit that we walk in the authority and the power of the word, And it's because of your spirit that we are able to love and pray in such a way that you will bring forth freedom and forgiveness on our nation, Lord, that you would bring forth mercy upon those who deserve mercy, Lord, and yet you will also bring forth justice, Lord, and we thank you for that. But we do not glory in your justice upon our enemies, because we know out of Proverbs that you declare that you want us to pray for our enemies. And so, Lord, we bring those requests to you, and we ask you to handle it. We thank you that the justice is yours. We thank you that victory is yours. And we stand under your word that declares that vengeance is yours. And we expect you to do what you said you would do, to bring forth righteousness in your timing, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, we bring all of these things. Lord, my heart is full tonight, full of all of these things that are happening across our nation and across our world. Lord, you know our cares. We cast them on your throne because you care for us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kimberly. Nobody can start a prayer call with a first prayer like you can. That is just, you just dig down deep and go, and so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Scotty. Well, it's my joy. I love the Word of God.
I know you do, and we love having you deliver the Word of God. So I was reminded today that there's still, I don't know what percent of this country trusts our government and thinks good of them, that they're honorable people, they're all looking out for our best interest. And of course there are people in our government that are good people that are doing exactly that. But like every organization, be it an intel agency, like the FBI or the CIA, Congress, a Senate, a local government, there's always good and bad people. But at the highest levels of these organizations appear to be the so-called global elite agenda. And so today, in a phone call, when I proposed to a friend this plandemic, this virus was planned, and I gave him a couple of research papers to go read, and he just got so angry, like, how could I think our government would do this to us? So enough said about that. I'm going to just quickly run down, because I promised I would tell him, and I know there's others who want to hear this. What is the agenda? Forget who did this. That's the invisible enemy Trump talks about when he's sending messages in his coronavirus meetings every day. He's been talking about the invisible enemy and the evil enemy, and he, of course, means those who created this pandemic or delivered it to the earth. But let me give you these things to think about. Number one, they don't want Trump reelected, so they'll do anything to stop him. And what better than to destroy the economy that he had, the path he would set us on and the economy he built, which was statistically better than anything we've ever seen. What they don't know or forgot is he has built the economy on a foundation that will come back very quickly. That's for a whole nother day. But yes, we are going to be in good shape, but they will not destroy the Trump economy for too long. Number two, they have been telegraphing depopulation, their desire, and they knew this pandemic would reach the elderly and certain people who had conditions. They call them comorbidity issues that would get this virus and die. So depopulation. Bill Gates wants the vaccine and put a microchip in all of us. That's not a surprise. And the next one is the one that I am concerned about. If not for this intelligence entity called Q that we are following, some of us, I would be really worried about this. But Q says not to worry. The mail-in balloting. They're using this to push mail-in balloting. The only way the Democrats could win any seat at any level is through mail-in balloting or some other voter fraud. So they have let Bill Gates lead the way and tell us, well, I'll be home for 18 months because That's how long it takes to make a vaccine we all need to be injected with. So, yeah, they want to push mail-in balloting, so they keep us at home and push the mail-in balloting and cheat all they want, but I don't believe that's going to work. There is the issue of pushing their limits of power. There are governors, there are mayors, there are, I want to say they're mostly Democrat, they're mostly on the left, and they're really pushing the limits of power because they never let a good crisis go to waste. They want to see how far they can push us. How much more? We'll give you an inch and they take a foot. So can they say to their population, well, you'll stay home now, and will we listen? So they're watching us. We're watching them, but they're watching us to see how we respond. And I just listened to a video of a sheriff who reminds everybody, sheriffs have no boss but us. If you have a sheriff's badge, your only boss is we the people. Sheriffs do not report to any government official. And the sheriff was incredulous that we're accepting this sitting down. He's like, I can't believe we're not all out in the streets, you know, demanding to be set free, so to speak. But he's trying to get the sheriffs together because he knows they're pushing the limits of power. And he's not enforcing anything that governments or politicians are pushing. And he's trying to get other sheriffs to do the same. So that's it. I just want to put that out there. There's a lot on the agenda. They are pushing a lot of things. But the interesting thing is it's all boomeranging. They're not going to succeed in any one of these. Yeah, they slowed the economy down for a while. It's not going to last. Depopulation, you know, I don't know how much they're going to put a dent in the population. I don't think there's been enough deaths. I don't think anyone on this call is going to take a vaccine, or certainly not a microchip from Bill Gates. No, thank you. Mail-in balloting is dead in the water, and they can push their limits of power all they want. And maybe in some states they gain a little ground, and that's what they think they're going to do. They're not going to win the battle. They're going to just win the war with this and take a little bit of power at a time. So to my dear friend who thinks they're all good sitting in government and would never do anything to hurt us, may I remind you of 9/11. Okay, let's get Daniel in. I think you're unmuted. Daniel, you still there? Oh, you're not unmuted. Okay, now you are. How you doing, Daniel?
Yeah, you unmuted me, then muted me, so I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. All right, the floor is all yours.
I'm just so thankful tonight, Scotty. You know, just every day is just another day just to give God the thanks for. And it's not lightly just to be able to thank God for another day, regardless of the circumstances that we've been dealing with in this country and world, just to know that God has control of the plan. You know, God has control of all the situation we've been dealing with. And I'm going to start in Job 31:4 in this prayer. And it says, does he not see my ways and count all my steps? And God, in Jesus' name, he sees every step of the deep state, sees every step that Trump takes. God sees, thank you, God, that you know our steps. You know every step that we take. You know, the righteous steps of, you know, the righteous God that you notice. And God, it also says in your word in Colossians 1 through 17. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, where you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all, all in all. Therefore, as in the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through. Lord, we just thank you so much that we just put on humility, God. We pray that President Trump puts on humility. We pray that our nation puts on humility. We pray that this world puts on humility right now. Because, God, there is a shift happening. There is an awakening happening. There is a powerful paradigm happening, God. And, God, we just give you the glory and honor and praise for the powerful things that is taking place, God, that we know that things are taking place. We know that you're doing the great and awesome things, God, that you are directing our steps. Is it not you, God, like it says in Job 31, that is directing our steps, Lord? Is it not you, God, that's turning this country around, bringing us to our knees to know that Jesus Christ needs to be the Lord of this world? And God, is it not you that has appointed you to be able to lead our country to freedom, to lead our country to where God wants this world to be at, God? God, we thank you so much for all the powerful things that you're doing, God. And do not let us doubt, but let us embrace the new things that God wants to breathe into this economy and into this world. And do not let us grow weary in doing good, Lord. And we give you the praise and glory and honor for that. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. I know you're driving, and you were worried about losing the call, but we got you the whole way. A little bit of static, but well done. Thank you so much. Well, we are heading, I think, for much better days. Not I think, I know. And Kimberly, there's a saying, I think it's come from Q, or maybe the president has said it many times, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
And that's what I'm feeling today. I'm reminded that the best is yet to come, and that isn't going to take long either. I think once this pandemic lifts and the plans of the cabal are pushed aside once again, and God is great, because I think this is their last bullet in the chamber. I think they saved their biggest event for last. Nothing else they tried. All the things they tried to do to get rid of Trump, the Russia hoax, the impeachment, Mueller, Stormy Daniels, and Avenatti, all the things they did, none of it worked. And this certainly is boomeranging on them for many reasons. So really it's true, the best is yet to come. Nothing they can do can stop this president and stop this country. God is with us.
Amen.
Well, any last comments, Kimberly, before we close with a prayer?
You know, I just want to encourage people to, number one, be reminded that their hope is in the Lord, not in man. Our hope is in God. And number two, we still have tons of opportunity to extend love, even if it's at, compliance distance. whichever state we're in. And don't forget that you guys, you are the light here. In a dark circumstance, you can still be a blessing to those around you. So I just wanted to encourage everyone with that.
Great thought, Kimberly. And the fact that we have 28 people, this is a beacon of light. And the people on this call are, I know from the names on the boards, I know many of you, and just everybody on this call is filled with light and hope, and the strength we all have together is great. I mean, it's powerful to pray, but to pray in a group this size is just amazing.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, that said, let's close with a prayer of gratitude, as we always do. Heavenly Father, our day-to-day lives right now are in fluctuation from routine. The only thing certain is change. While adapting to change in our personal lives, we sometimes forget to stop and thank you for all the good in our lives. Oh, Lord, may we find the joy of the Lord even in the midst of our trials. May we pray that you teach us what it means to see beyond our troubles and be grateful you are with us. Despite this global pandemic, our blessings are many, and our heart is filled with gratitude for the gift of living, for the ability to love and be loved, and for the opportunity to see the everyday wonders of the creation, like the beautiful sunshine here today in California. Lord, nobody can take away the wonder of creation, including our liberty, not the UN, not the World Health Organization, not Bill Gates. Nobody who planned this event can take anything from us. None of this evil, none of the principalities of power to try to deny us our liberty, even when life is presented with many challenges and it's a struggle to keep our spirits high, we're rejoiced that you are near us and as near as our next breath, and that in the midst of turbulence, we are growing and learning. In the silence of our souls, we thank you most for your unconditional love. Lord, we gathered here tonight to pray, excited and grateful that our great president is here to serve all Americans. Through the work of the president and the great patriots that surround him, we pray you teach us to offer you a heart of thanksgiving and praise in all of our daily experiences of life. We're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Kimberly and Daniel, and for Betty and Christine and Diane and Ingrid, and all of the prayer warriors that have joined us, the 28 people on this call. We're so grateful we could make it together here tonight. Our faith will grow strong in the truth and will overflow with gratitude. Gratitude for our president, his agenda, and our ultimate sovereignty that binds us together in prayer tonight. We're so grateful for everything you've given us. Thank you for the loved ones in our lives and for the many ways in which we are supported. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. We thank you for everything we are. Amen.
Amen.
Great to be with you on a Thursday night, everybody. Hang up the phone, give someone a big, big hug, and we will see you Sunday night. Good night.
Good night.